Good morning, OCC Online. For those of you who are connecting for the very first time, a huge welcome to you as well. Whether you're watching this live as it's broadcast in this moment, or whether you're watching it at a future date, we're really glad that you dropped by. My name's Ian, I'm one of the leaders at OCC, and it's just a delight to be able to spend this time together, separately, virtually, as we come to listen, to learn, to reflect, to act in all that God is calling us into, but not just to do in terms of activity, but who he's calling us to be as a people. So please grab your notebook, grab your pen, whatever it is that you use to write and take some notes, because there's going to be some stuff coming up later on that you're going to want to take some notes of. There's some worship in a moment, but we've also got a conversation between John and Sarah Whittleston, who is the leader of Elam Prayer. Sarah is just a great leader, a great woman of God, who is seeking to help Elam nationally engage with prayer rhythms and what it looks like to be a praying people. She's come up with, along with her team, some great tools, which I'm sure she'll talk to you about. But more importantly, Sarah is just really passionate about helping people engage with God in prayer, not because we have to, but because we get to. And so this conversation with Sarah, you're going to find super, super beneficial. I just know it. So yeah, like, grab a notebook, make some notes, but more importantly, act on the things maybe that you might learn for the first time or have been reminded of once again. So that's this morning. I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to hand over to the worship team. Jesus, we thank you for your grace, your compassion, your mercy, your goodness, your kindness, your power and your authority over all things. And Jesus, we gather virtually in this online space, in this moment. Maybe some are gathered in communities watching this. Lord, I ask that as we engage in worship, as we engage in prayer, that we would be attentive to what you want to do in us, so that we might become more like you, and that you might work through us in the everyday, ordinary things of life this week. So Lord, we thank you for this opportunity. May you stir our hearts afresh. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
How great the chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. And through the darkness your loving kindness tore through the shadows.
Say
so wonderful. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe out of the silence. The roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on. Then came the morning, then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe out of the silence. The roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me. Jesus, yours is the victory. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah and hallelujah. Praise someone who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Jesus Christ, my living hope.
Right, well, I'm so excited today to be chatting with Sarah Whittleston. Sarah is an amazing woman of God, firstly, inspires me and so many others with her passion and her heart. But she is a local church leader of Elim Life Church in King Standing, leader of Elim Prayer, just doing incredible things. Sarah, I just wonder, as we have these discipleship discussions as a church, could you share just a little bit about your discipleship journey, how you came to faith, what that journey looks like for you?
Yeah, that's great. Well, hi, John, and hi, everyone. Really great to be with you today. So very briefly then, because I could talk for forever, so I'll try and keep it brief. I'm from a non-Christian background, a single parent family, living on a council estate in Wales, God's own land. And my next door neighbours invited me to church. There was like an awareness of God in our lives, but no sense of you could know him personally. And so through the kind of ministry and mission of the church, particularly in youth ministry, I went to a summer camp. And at this summer camp, someone was talking about Jesus as if he was real. And I was like, whoa. And presented in such a way to give you an option, like, did you want to know this God or not? And so very simply at 13, I was like, I want to know Jesus. He's real. He loves me. He died for me. So that was the start. So I talk about that as a conversion experience. Mm. But interestingly, I would say that I don't think I became a real disciple until I was about 18. Mm. Because those teenage years, great people in the church, Caerphilly Elim Church, really encouraged me, took me on holidays, got me involved serving. I was like learning the stories of the Bible one week and teaching the seven-year-olds the next week, you know. So it was an incredible kind of thrown in at the deep end. But I didn't really know what it was like to properly follow Jesus personally. And so I think at 18, there was this moment where I kind of wandered away a little bit from God. And I really sensed God saying, you can't sit on the fence, Sarah. You're like either in or you're not. And I just decided to be all in. So I would say, like, from about the age of 18, I started to really think about, okay, so if I'm a follower of Jesus, then what does that look like? What things does that, how does that, like, what components are in my life? How does that affect what I do with my money, in my relationships, my career, like all of those things? It suddenly started to go, oh, it impacts every area of my life. It's not just this little private thing between me and Jesus. And I just had a real heart to share Jesus with people. So a lot of my early involvement in ministry and leadership was just telling people about Jesus, because who wouldn't want to know this God, right? So yeah, I guess that was my kind of early introduction to discipleship, really.
Fantastic. That's incredible. Amazing story. And that has now grown, and you know, you're part of a national thing within Ealing Prayer. I just wonder, as the leader of Ealing Prayer, help us in our church. What's the aim of Ealing Prayer? What is like your focus in leading Ealing Prayer?
Yeah, well, great question. Thanks, John. So when I was asked to take over the prayer for Ealing, it was with this sense of bring something new and fresh. So I took time out to pray and to fast and to seek God, and really felt like God said that the role of Ealing Prayer was to champion life-transforming prayer across the movement. And so that sense of helping people to understand why prayer is important, what prayer can look like, and not just pray for the sake of a tick box, but a life-transforming prayer, like prayer transforming your life with God, but then kind of like overflowing into the mission and ministry that God's called you to and trusted you with, and kind of that with God life. And so we as a team love to do three things. We love to equip, so training, discipling, like what does it look like to live this life of prayer, spiritual practices, rhythms, you know, all those kind of things for leaders and churches and disciples. How can we help you to think about what prayer looks like in your life, in your church community, in your city or town or village? Then we love to encourage. So when we hear stories of what God is doing across the movement, and there are loads of stories of what God is doing, from 24/7 prayer rooms to prayer hotlines to miracles to, like, honestly, there's so much that God is doing across Ealing, like prayer buses that are going out and about, and you know, like we love to just share those stories, and then enabling, which essentially means facilitating prayer for Ealing. So that looks like national prayer events. We were online before the pandemic hit, so we were like, yes, we're like 1 month ahead of everyone else. So, and also working with other Ealing departments. So, for example, working in partnership with Ealing Missions to bring global prayers. So we started with 7 days and 21, then 40, and now we have a weekly rhythm. With Ealing Reach, with the National Alpha, we had a team of people every week while Alpha was on, from across Ealing, across the nation, joining together on Zoom from each church, praying for the Alpha course that was taking place. So working on different ways to partner across Ealing, you know, Limitless Festival, the youth, we run the prayer ministry, prayer rooms, all sorts of stuff. So enabling prayer to take place as well. And maybe just trying to encourage different ways of praying together in community. I am just so passionate that when you live from a life of prayer, not just get a prayer life, you know? So when you live from a life of prayer, like you hear God's voice and anything's possible. So if I can in some tiny way, and if Ealing Prayer in some tiny way can help be a catalyst for that, that fills me with joy.
Have you got an example, like a story of what you're seeing happening across our movement? Just something to encourage?
Yeah. So, I mean, there's loads, but I'll tell you about Newquay Ealing. So Newquay Ealing, known now as Wave House, a number of years ago, I know Matt and Sally Timms quite well, they said, would you come? We're thinking about centering our church around prayer in a new way. And I was like, yes. So I went and they showed me this space. They were like, we're thinking about turning this into a prayer room, maybe call it the Firehouse. And so just spent some time with their church and just saw God suddenly reorienting and realigning them as leaders and as a church to go, we want to gather around prayer and the presence, and everything else will flow from that. You know, fast forward a few years, there's the Wave House, the Storehouse, and the Firehouse that they've got. It's like this incredible prayer space. It's a physical space, but also every now and again, God just gives them prayer assignments. And so as a church, maybe for 40 days, they'll pray for the nation. At the moment, they've got like a bus that they're taking around the whole of the Southwest to kind of for mission and prayer. And God, I think, has trusted them with these assignments because they've been really faithful to go, no, we want to center everything around hearing from God, talking to him about it, being obedient to what he asks, and then joining in with what he's doing. But I see that all over. You know, whether that looks like traditional type prayer meetings where you meet in a room every week and you pray together and God goes, just suddenly gives you a burden for something. It might be the homeless or the food battle, you know. And then the church going, oh, okay, we can step into that because we're sensing God saying, this is where I'm working right now. And I think that is really significant, actually. I think that's probably something that's changed the most in my life is I used to go, God, I've got this great idea. Could you just come bless it, please?
Yeah.
And I think, I don't know about you, but I've learned over the years, it's much better to say, hey, God, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And how can I join in with that? And you find that out when you pray, when you listen, when you stop long enough to actually just hear what God's saying rather than just asking him for stuff. So yes, that's just like one story of many stories, really. I think prayer through the last 16 months has suddenly risen to the top of people's agendas. And I think we've all gone, oh, how did we think we could do this without prayer? Yeah. You know, how did we think we could even be a disciple, let alone lead or do mission without hearing from God in that? So yeah, I think there's been a bit of a shift, not just in the movement, but actually in the body of Christ in this last 16 months.
I mean, you're speaking to the last 16 months. How much of an impact do you think COVID has had on prayer?
Well, I just think everybody's realised we need to do it. I think we've always, and I think there's this weird thing about prayer where there's like prayer guilt and prayer comparison, right? So you look at other people, you might look at a socials post they put up, or you might look at their prayer meeting, or you might see them out prayer walking, you'd be like, oh my days, their life of prayer is awesome and mine is ridiculous. And so I think there's a sense of like, I am not good at prayer, I'm not praying as much as I should, I'm not praying powerfully or effectively enough. And I think that's just a trap of the enemy. Yeah. If he can get you distracted and caught up in all that, you won't be willing to pray. And I think what the last 60 months has done is kind of broken all that away and gone, hey, we're all in a similar situation, even though our circumstances might be different, we're all facing the same thing. We need to hear from God in this. Yeah. We need to pray together. And online has opened up a way of connecting in ways. We have more people locally in our church prayer meeting now than we ever did before the pandemic.
Brilliant.
Part of that is because for most of the time in the last 60 months it's been online. Now it's hybrid, in person and online. And it just allows people to access it. But I think it's this sense of, okay, God, what have you got to say? Because all of my answers have gone. Like, I've never faced this before. I've never been in a pandemic before. I've never had to homeschool my kids before. I've never had to, like, work out, am I going to be made redundant because my job doesn't exist anymore? Like, I think those things have caused us to go individually, personally, like, oh, well, I need God's take on this. I also need God's action on this. Mm-hmm. And I also think for us as the church, we've gone, oh, we've never done this before. Zoom prayer meetings are amazing.
Yeah.
Like, what a great way to gather people together to pray. And so I think, yeah, I think digitally it's allowed us to connect in different ways. And I think it's caused us to take perhaps a corporate responsibility as well to go, we need to pray for the thing that we're a part of because it's on us, it's our responsibility. God invites us to partner. And so, yeah, that's a bit of a rambly answer, but essentially, I think it's just risen to the priority list. My little note of caution and my prayer at the moment is that as we go back to normality, whatever the new normal looks like, that we don't lose that sense of urgency and vitality in prayer, that we don't suddenly revert back to, well, I can kind of do this thing without Jesus, or I can kind of make that decision without praying about it. You know, my hope and prayer is that this has been such a shift that we don't go back to old default patterns.
Yeah.
If they weren't healthy, you know?
Yeah, so it's like that Moses thing, isn't it? If you're not going, I'm not going with you. It's that dependency on God. If we haven't got that, you know, we can live in a world where we're so dependent on ourselves. We've got it all sorted. All of it's in our nice, neat boxes. And when they crumble, actually, we realise that's how much I need Jesus.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that's great, John. I love that. I love that.
Have you seen that impact in your church locally for you as a local church, Elim minister, leading a church? How have you seen this prayer, this season of prayer, been impacting in your church?
Yeah. That, again, great question. So I would say that we've probably developed and grown in prayer in the last 16 months more than the last 10 years. I've been here 10 years. I've been leading prayer nationally for like 3 and a bit years. And we've tried all sorts. I have to say, Elim Life Church are brilliant at just giving things a go. So whether that's they turn up and there's a single musician in the middle of the room and we just wait on Jesus, whether they turn up like once we did like... we were praying into like fight the good fight and they came in, there was a boxing ring in the middle and we did creative stuff. So like, I have to say the church have been amazing at just giving stuff a go. But I think what's happened this year is there's been a consistency and a commitment that I haven't seen before.
Yeah.
And I think part of that is because we've tried to make it more accessible. And I think we've been more consistent in what we've done. So we've done various things. We did Zoom prayer meetings to start with. Then we do something called like live prayer. So on Facebook and YouTube. And like I said, now we've moved to a hybrid. So there's people in the room and there's people online. And we've also created an engaged prayer team. So an intercessory team that every week I send out like a bunch of a big list of praise reports and prayer requests.
Yeah.
And anyone can fill in a form online or can ring the office and say, hey, would you pray? So, and then we've also got like a prayer alert on WhatsApp. I love a broadcast list. So if there's an emergency prayer, they will message me and I'll share it with like 40, 50 people, knowing that the majority of those people are able to kind of pray in rapid response, like a rapid response team. So I think it's been the consistency of, you know, the rapid response, the weekly intercession, and every week there's like a theme of something. So it could be that we want to pray for the city one week. It could be that we're praying into racial justice and equality another week. It could be that God wants us to pray for youth one week. And so every week there's like the requests and the praise reports, but then also a theme for us to pray around. And then like the weekly prayer meetings. So yeah, I think, and we've done seasons of like prayer and fasting, and then we love joining in obviously with the national stuff because they get told off if they did it. No, just kidding. No, they would. so yeah, I think there's been a consistency. And I think the online world has allowed people who perhaps have been afraid of prayer or think they're not good enough to pray, you know, to pray out loud in a meeting. So they would love to be in a prayer meeting, but they'd be terrified of someone going, okay, pray out loud.
Yeah.
It's developed people's life of prayer. And then the other thing that we did is we created like a pastoral care system. Our assistant pastor, Sarah, did brilliantly with this and a lady, a volunteer in our church. And so every week people are getting a phone call on like a rotation. And so we're gathering people's prayer requests and they're praying with them on the phone. And so I just think there's this sense of us being aware. People have always prayed in the church and pray for one another, but now suddenly people are aware, wow, that person. And you know, it's been amazing because sometimes it's meant that someone's found a prayer request and then given that person a ring and gone, how can we support you? Can we make you some food? Can we take you for a walk in the park? You know, like whatever that is. You know, if there's a need for provision, we've had people ring up and go, we'd like to anonymously give money to that situation. Yeah. And so I think there's this like pastoral mission thing that's happened as well.
Yeah.
And by opening it wide, I mean, we've had all sorts of prayer requests from all over the place. And it's just such a privilege to feel like, well, we're a local church, but we're like, I don't know, praying for somebody who's got something going on in their life in India or Canada. It's been amazing. So yeah, those are some of the changes. And I think being willing to adapt as well, not just doing the same thing always. So for the autumn, we're kind of praying about, okay, God, what does that look like stepping into a new season again? So yeah, that willingness to adapt things and change things up. It's not always easy, but hopefully following where the Spirit leads on that, you know?
Yeah, but some great principles that this season has afforded us as we move forward. We've realized we can be more adaptable than we thought. We can be more engaged. I think it's bizarre, isn't it? We've been through a season where who'd have thought that as the doors of church closed and our meetings were stopped, that actually there's more connectivity and more community. I mean, those of us leading churches, we've been trying to grapple with that for years. And actually, the method that we thought was working, God's like, well, how about this method?
Yeah, his ways are not our ways, right? Absolutely. His thoughts are definitely higher than ours. And I think, you know, it's true, though, that God will use any circumstance or situation to bring truth and grace to bear. I think if we're listening to that. But yeah, it is really interesting. And I think just because it feels, maybe it's that it feels slightly safer to be yourself and to not feel any pressure and much more of an invitation to be really authentic. And really prayer is that. It's an invitation to be with God, to listen to God, to talk to God, to, you know, wait on him. Sometimes it doesn't look like words. It looks like creativity and art and music and, you know, I think it's just that invitation again to that with God life. And I've also, I think the other thing is realizing that what sustains you for one season doesn't necessarily sustain you for the next.
Yeah.
And so that's where that adaptability and that flexibility, like the principles are so important. Time with Jesus on your own, you know, devotional time with God, prayer and intercession in your own life. But that could look different.
Yeah.
You know, so for example, we were talking before we started recording about homeschooling kids, like finding a devotional rhythm in that season is very different from when they're going to school every day, and you can order your time slightly differently, you know. So I think it's that going, okay, we're going to hold on to the most important things, even if it looks different. Yeah. And so prayer is like right up there in one of the most important things, isn't it? But it could look different. It could look different.
So much I could pull out. It's fantastic. Just to narrow it down, just as we bring things to a close, I want to talk about your prayer life, your own, you know, you're talking about shifting rhythms. What for you, what shapes your prayer life as a disciple? What does that look like at the moment for you?
Yeah, great. So I'll be super honest. It looks different in this season because I think this year I came into the year feeling like, woohoo! And then I would say the last 4 or 5 months have probably been some of the most challenging in ministry and leadership. And what I was saying a little bit earlier, I found that what I had as a rhythm to sustain me was not sustaining me. It wasn't feeding my relationship with God. It wasn't shaping me spiritually. And so I began to realize that, oh, I'm not as resilient. I'm not as patient. I'm feeling more like my equilibrium isn't kind of right. So what's going on, God? And so at the moment, I'm trying to do something each month that looks different. So this month, I'm doing a 31-day prayer challenge. So that, very simply, I've learned over the years to change my rhythm and my times. I was always, I'm a late night person, but I've realized that I always was the last person into the office and the most grumpy and needed the most coffee. So I changed it. I was like, God, that's not okay. I need to steward my attitude and my time. And I'm not having enough time with you. So, you know, a few years ago, started going to bed a bit earlier, started getting up a bit earlier. And so currently what it looks like is getting up in the morning. I'm single with no children. So this does make my life a little bit easier in this sense. Getting up in the morning, having a good hour, maybe a little bit more with Jesus. Starting in silence. Then bringing some kind of confessional repentance, inviting God to examine my heart. Then some kind of like worship, adoration, thanksgiving. That could look like writing a list in my journal of what I'm thankful for. That could look like singing, you know, a worship song to the top of my lungs, much to the disappointment of my housemates and my cats. Jesus! They're like, shh, we haven't woken up yet. And then it looks like going to God's word. And so as I come to God's word, asking him, speak to me through it. And not just speak to me personally, but speak to me about how that can help aid my prayers. So I've been reading through the book of Mark this month. And bringing out of it, as I've been reading, okay, God, what do you want me to pray out of it? What do you want me to take out of it? And who do you want me to pray for? And then, so as I go through that, and then I write a list of people I'm going to pray for. And then I ask God for a nation. So every day I pray for a different nation. And then I end with some kind of like confession of essentially like, God, thank you for this time. Thank you that my prayers matter. You know, praying for other people who are praying today, they'll encounter you. And journaling along as I do it. So that's kind of the current structure. But I think Bible, worship, listening. I journal, so that really helps me just to make a note of what God is saying. I write my prayers sometimes as a conversation, like a script. Like, God says this, I say this. I love that. Yeah, so that's kind of what it looks like. Those elements are always there. And then I try every week to give half a day. So I'm usually a Wednesday morning in intercession. So I will take myself off to somewhere where I'm not going to be disturbed. And I will come with no other agenda than asking Holy Spirit, what do you want me to intercede for? And so sometimes that looks like praying for Elim things. Sometimes that looks like offering to pray. You know, sometimes I'll just put on socials on a morning, any prayer requests.
Yeah.
And I might get some private messages, and then I just wait on God and I ask for something prophetic for them, or a verse or a scripture or a word or a picture, and I pray for them and I respond with that. And then I try, I'm not very good at this at the moment, of having a weekly Sabbath. So 24 hours where I'm not in work mode, where I don't have to make decisions, where I look at having time with God, friends, family, something that replenishes.
Yeah.
And then I try every term to do at least a 24-hour retreat. So an overnight somewhere where, again, I just go away with God to ask him to speak. That's obviously been a bit harder in the pandemic, but I've realized that those were some of the things that have begun to slip. And that was why I wasn't really feeling like I was growing deeper.
Yeah.
And then I've just recently got a spiritual director as well.
Fantastic.
Yeah, so for those who don't know what a spiritual director is, they essentially accompany you in conversations with God. Yeah. Because I realize I'm dealing with things I've never dealt with before, and I might just need someone to help me process that, you know, issues of grief and loss, kind of lots of change. And I'm just aware that I wasn't processing it as well as I could. And so I just found a wonderful lady, and we meet on Zoom, and she prays with me, and she leads me through prayer, and yeah. It's good. And then the other thing I would say is, if you're looking to start growing in prayer, there's some brilliant prayer apps out there that just help you in prayer. So I found those really helpful over the years as well. So, yeah.
And how do you, I mean, that rhythm, you know, it's going to be different for everyone. You know, you started off by saying you're single, got no kids. So that changes your dynamic of living. How have you found that prayer has shaped and modeled your discipleship? I'm thinking of like the frustrations of a change of season, or the frustrations of life. And I love that you know, something happens in life and you notice something about yourself. And the first point is, I need to adjust my devotion time with God. So that's shaping who you are. But how about the waiting in prayer and the breakthroughs and the no's from God? I'm, you know, our rhythms can all look different, but God's forming something, isn't he, in and through us in those moments. How's that shaped you?
Yeah. Oh, well, massively. I don't know why I would be who I am today without it. So I think the first thing is identity. Oh, man, that's massive. Yeah. You know, like I am 900 miles an hour. I am a loud extrovert, go, 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 give me the to-do list, what's next, what's new. And so learning to stop has been really hard. But I think it's in those moments where I get to review and reflect, and God goes, hey, this was good. Yeah, that wasn't so good. This is an area of your character we need to work on. This is what I'm asking of you. And so I think it allows for a new level of obedience, actually, and a new level of God shaping your character. Because I think we can, if we don't have those moments, we can live very unaware of who we are and of our impact on others. And also we can fall into comparison traps. Mine was striving. I've got to prove something. I've got to earn God's approval. And it's been through this life of prayer with God that he's just called out, no, I'm his beloved. Yeah. Like, that is my identity. I don't need to do anything. I don't need to prove anything for God to love me. And so it shaped me from the inside out, really, so that hopefully the life I'm leading now is much less about wanting to prove or strive and much more about living in that intimate place with God. You know, so I talk about it like abiding or leaning in. John 15 is a massive life passage for me in the Bible of like, he's the vine, I'm the branches. So what does it look like to abide? My job is not the fruit. My job is abiding. And as I abide, the fruit comes. And that's been a big shift for me, I think, over the years. And I, and there'll be things probably in 10 years time, if we're having this conversation, I'll be, oh, wow, this has been what God has said. And it shaped faith in me. You know, the willingness to try something, even when I feel scared, even when I'm like absolutely terrified that I'm going to fail, it's going to be a massive mistake, everybody's going to like laugh at me. You know, we all have these things in our lives, don't we?
Yeah.
But it's given me courage to go, actually, if God has said this, I need to give it a go. And if it works, brilliant. If it doesn't, well, I take that to him as well. And I think one of those things is being really honest. I have been probably more disappointed and angry in the last 16 months than any other point in my leadership and life, because it's all been very confusing.
Yeah.
And being able to just bring that to God. I love the Psalms for that. You know, the whole gamut of human emotions are in there, and it permissions you. And sometimes I've used the Psalms as my prayers because I've literally not been able to find the words.
Yeah.
It's been really painful, perhaps, or I've just been so emotionally spent that I just didn't have the words. And so reading a psalm that captures that has helped me to connect with God. And in that place, then he just starts to bring healing, starts to remind me of his presence, of his goodness. Mm. And sometimes I'd have to do that a few times before I get a feeling of, oh, I'm coming through and out of this season. And I think it allows you to dream really big.
Yeah.
When you start reading the Bible and you see the bold prayers, I think I might have made it more complicated. Ask and you shall like believe and you shall receive. I'm like, oh yeah, it's pretty simple. I don't know why I've made it so complicated. And so that's kind of where I'm at the moment. Like, I'm going back to the scriptures to talk about prayer, and I'm like reminding God and myself, I'm going, okay, God, this is what it says. Yeah, so I'm going to apply that to, like, we would love a new building and we need more provision and be great to find some people to join our team. So it's kind of given me confidence, I guess, to go, I'm just going to ask big, and God can redirect me if I've got that wrong. Yeah. If he's like, are you praying for the wrong things, Whittleston? Sorry, that's how he talks to me sometimes. Like, if you're praying for the wrong things, Whittleston, kiddo, like, you can redirect me, but I'm willing to kind of just be a bit braver.
Brilliant.
So, yeah, massively, massively shaped me, and will continue to. If you want to grow as a disciple or in any form of leadership, you have to develop your own life of prayer. It's like a non-negotiable. I mean, Jesus did it. He's like the Son of God. He's God himself.
Yeah.
So I think when you look, if you ever want to do a study of prayer through the New Testament, you just see it was woven through everything. Yeah. And they did everything from a place of prayer. And when the Spirit came, it was even more amazing, because suddenly they had this empowering of the Spirit coupled with God's word, coupled with prayer. And you're like, wow, woohoo.
Yeah.
So yeah, I would. I'm obviously going to say that, but yeah, that's my take.
I love it. I love it because what I love is that you talk about this commitment to a devotional time of prayer, but that actually then shapes and feeds into how you live your life, mm-hmm. and before God, but before the people around you, and in and through that, God shaping and forming you. So it is discipleship. Prayer is a life of prayer, is a prayer filled life, and it changes how we live, and it's discipleship. It's fantastic.
Yeah, brilliant. Ah, oh, it's such a good conversation.
Thank you so much for your time. Thank you so much for your influence in our movement and all you're doing and your passion. Keep going, and just encourage you. Thank you so much.
Bless you. Thanks so much. And just praying for you all as you kind of discuss and get deeper and think, God, what does it look like to be a follower of you? May you be totally astounded by how much grace he has for you and how much of the Spirit's power can impact every moment of your life. I'm praying for every one of your front lines, whatever that looks like, that you would just be more and more aware of his presence with you, and of the fruit. Just praying for great kingdom fruit for you guys. So yeah, thanks so much.
Amen.
Bless you all.
Thanks, Sarah.
Well, so thankful to Sarah for sharing with us, and I hope your heart's been stirred. Mine has. And the reason that we are doing these mornings is to start a conversation, to discuss, start us thinking about what it means to be followers of Jesus, not to passively consume, but actively dialogue, and to think these things through as a church community. And so we're deliberately, intentionally making these mornings a little bit shorter when we're online, just to facilitate that. So if you're with others right now, why don't you have a conversation about prayer? What prayer is to you? How you, the things you struggle with, the things that you enjoy, and what that rhythm looks like for you at the moment. Or what you could do is, if you're on your own, we're going to have a song right now. Becky's going to lead us in a song, and we're just going to end the service with that song. And I want to encourage you, why don't you allow that to facilitate you into a time of prayer, a time of just spending some time with Jesus, just speaking to him about where you're at, your frustrations, your joys, what you're struggling with. Just have that relationship time with Jesus this morning, if you're able to, or prioritize, intentionally put in some time this week in order to be with Jesus. And just spend time with him. So we'll encourage you to do that at the end of this service. And so Becky's going to lead us in a song. But before we do, don't forget, next week we're back in person at the United Reformed Church, 10:30 on Sunday. And then the following Sunday, we're just going to have some family time. We're going to have a joyous time having a picnic at the park, at the rec. And so 10:30, come down, bring your picnic blankets, bring your chairs, bring any games, bring your picnics, your food. And we're just going to have, as long as we are there together, just enjoying that time, just a bank holiday weekend, enjoying each other and enjoying God's blessings upon us. So I want to encourage you, why don't you invite some friends to that? Come for as long or as short as you can. But Becky's going to lead us in a song now, just to facilitate some time for us to spend with Jesus. And then I'd encourage you, why don't you, after that finishes, as we finish online, don't finish your time. Just spend some time with Jesus right now as we pray together and we seek his face and we just spend time with him and be with him right now. But have a blessed week, and we'll see you in person next week.
You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness. You give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Give life, you are love, you bring. bring light to the darkness. You give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath.
Praise to you.